head of the University of Central Arkansas, talks about the future of innovation and the school's statewide reach. Bell ringers from near and far descend on Central Arkansas this weekend, and the University of Arkansas celebrates Earth Day by switching on a new solar array. Those stories and more are coming up this week on the News Wrap from the Arkansas Newsroom. I'm Daniel Breen, News Director of Little Rock Public Radio. Each week, we're recapping the top stories from all across the natural state. We'll unpack the headlines, share exclusive insights, and provide the context you need to fully grasp the issues that matter most to Arkansans. That's this week on the Arkansas News Wrap, coming up right after the news from NPR. This is the Arkansas News Wrap. I'm Daniel Breen with Little Rock Public Radio. The University of Central Arkansas in Conway is preparing to open a brand new innovation campus. UCA President Houston Davis says he's focused on how higher education can prepare students and the state for what's ahead. He tells KUAF's Kyle Kellums the school's soon-to-open innovation campus is an example of that work.
We'll have opportunities for applied learning. We'll have certainly across all of our engineering and STEM programs opportunities for students and faculty to do their thing. But on the opposite side of the facility, we'll have businesses that are co-located there that they're interested in being there because they want to have access to our faculty and students. So it's an internship center almost, an opportunity for co-op experience.
You know, I was about to say, it sounds like the emphasis here is at least part of the emphasis on collaboration.
It is. I mean, good partnership. Partnerships, good collaboration between business and higher education need to lead to good applied learning, applied research, thinking about how is it not only that students are learning theoretically, but they're learning how to apply that knowledge. I love that in the robotics labs and things like that, they're going to be within that facility. It'll be an opportunity to really explore, put hands on things. How does it work? I mean, how can you stretch the boundaries of your knowledge around how that thing works? There's bound to be good things to happen. And we're not surprised at all that businesses have really responded positively about co-locating some of their operations on the opposite side of that building.
Where will the building be? Is it on campus proper?
No, it's about 3 miles just to the southeast of the UCA campus, the way the crow flies. It's the former, a lot of people in the Conway area in Central Arkansas know it as the former HP facility. Hewlett-Packard had their operation there. Most recently, Gainwell Technologies operated some of their health IT division out of that space.
I see that on I-40. Don't I go past that?
Yes. Right there, just as you get a little closer into Little Rock, right. going southeast from Conway. That facility, it's about 180,000 square foot facility. We're going to be they call it the bigger half, which that's a new term. It's roughly 93,000 square feet of that facility will be what we and the University of Arkansas Community College at Morrilton, where we will co-locate our open concept classrooms and labs. And then the opposite side, 87,000 square feet, will be where businesses will be co-located. So excited. And it will have an incubation sort of focus. But what I'm really excited about is we're going to have established businesses there. This isn't just, you know, people thinking prospectively about what they're trying to create. It will be established businesses that will be looking to include us in their work. And hopefully we're giving students opportunities, especially through internships, to really be able to have an immediate transition into employment opportunities with those businesses.
The business partners who will be in part on the other side of that building, what were the conversations like to encourage them to be part of this?
Yeah, well, we're working in partnership with the Conway Development Corporation on this, and they're still in the process of making announcements about firms and groups that will be in there. One entity that has already signed on is an IT firm. They'll have 40 to 50 employees that will be there.
40 to 50?
Yes. Yeah. No, okay. We're talking about established companies that they're excited about the idea. They heard that we were going to to make the commitment to launch the Innovation Campus. They love the idea that they're going to have access to our computer science, our data sciences, our robotics, faculty and students. It's an easy fit for them to know that there's a synergy that will exist. There's a pharmaceutical manufacturing group that has some interest in the facility. There's another group that's focused on it's an energy sort of focused firm in the energy sciences space. They're very excited about being able to access to the faculty that in the biology and the chemistry space that might be co-located out there. So it's just place matters. Being in a place matter. Proximity matters. So I think it's been a pretty easy sell for CDC to be able to talk to these firms about, hey, here's what's going to be there. You want to be in that space to be able to benefit from the energy that's going to occur with the students and the faculty in that space.
It sounds like in 2026, you are advocating that a university campus cannot be an island.
It absolutely positively cannot be. We're proud of that UCA does some things very, very well. We're also good about choosing what are we going to, if we're going to choose to allocate resources, how are we going to do that and do that not only well, but make certain that we're really making a difference. I think that a lot of our conversation about making certain that we have future-ready foundations for our programs is looking at where are there opportunities for expansion. I mean, obviously in the health sciences, in the science and engineering, in business, in MIS, and insurance risk management, some of the things that we're doing in thinking about different educational technology opportunities in the College of Education. Those are things that we can do very well. So what is it that the state of Arkansas, not only the region that just surrounds us there in Conway, but what is it throughout the state that those are assets that can make a difference in communities? I mean, our Community Development Institute lots of times answers that bell of going into local areas, understanding what is the grand challenge that that community is wanting to take on, and then to be able to shuttle the resources, mm-hmm. whether they come from UCA or from some other university, to be able to meet the needs of that community.
Of course, the name, there's the word in the name of the university, Central,
yep.
right? Central Arkansas. So for years, decades, people in other parts of the state might not have thought of UCA as something beyond
That's right.
Central Arkansas. But that's changing.
Oh, it absolutely is. I think I usually get people to say, really? When I say we get students from all 75 counties and we send alumni every year to 75 counties. I mean, we really do have a statewide reach. And then beyond that, we get students from 46 states. That's what's currently at the university. We have over 40 countries represented. We certainly are a campus that extends the reach. But principally, though, I mean, I think about our undergraduate population. We have 10,000 students, 8,000. And undergrads, 90% of those undergraduate students come from Arkansas counties. So we do have a statewide mission. We have a statewide reach. We have a statewide impact. And we like to say, I think last year when we were here doing some things in Northwest Arkansas, part of our tagline is UCA is central to Northwest Arkansas, because we want to make certain that we're seen as a part of that. But I would say that equally, UCA is central to the Delta. UCA is central to Southwest Arkansas and meeting the needs of those communities. And most of the time, that's going to be done through partnerships with other higher education institutions. I think what we're committed to is the concept that you can be a force multiplier when you're willing to be able to lay your resources against others. And I'm very, very lucky that we've got great relationships with a lot of presidents and chancellors from a number of different type of institutions. And if we're sitting there talking about, well, what is it that Malvern needs? Where are the challenges that particular community is trying to meet? We know that we can call upon other higher education partners to probably come ready with force-ready solutions.
That was Houston Davis, president of the University of Central Arkansas, speaking with KUAF's Kyle Kellums. This weekend, Little Rock's Trinity Episcopal Church is hosting its annual Seven Towers Change Ringing Festival, a novel style of bell tower ringing that's part meditation, part exercise, and is centered on community. Little Rock Public Radio's Nathan Treese has more.
If you are out in downtown Little Rock this weekend, you may catch a few moments of what is possibly the world's loudest social hobby. Change bell ringing which you're hearing there, is also a hobby with a deep history, so much so that its origin story has more to do with legend than ledgers.
The rumor is that change bell ringing began with Henry VIII when he was creating the Church of England, because they wouldn't let him divorce for the seventh time. He formed his own church, and he wanted his bells to be rung differently than the Roman Catholic bells that simply ring.
Porter Brownlee, who you just heard from, oversaw the construction of Trinity Episcopal Church's bell tower and the installation of its bells in the late 1980s. He has been ringing them ever since. At first listen, you may not be able to identify the difference between a simple ring and a change bell ring, but it only takes a few moments to learn where the complexity comes in. Brownlee explains that up until the 16th century, this was about everything you could get from a bell.
And you've been to the market and you're walking back to the home, and suddenly your local church bell starts to toll. And you stop and listen, and it rings three times, and then it rings three times again, and then it rings 37 times. And you know that a woman has died, and she was 37 years old. And so I'll go make a casserole for the Reynolds family, because obviously Mrs. Reynolds finally succumbed to whatever was going on.
Around the turn of the 17th century, a new invention enabled greater control over the swing of a bell. A wheel attached to the headstock allowed the bell to swing in a full 360-degree circle, which enabled things like this.
We actually hold the smaller bells in a vertical position for a fraction of a second to wait for the heavier bells to catch up, and that allows for the high notes to no notes to occur with the same gap in between.
This is called a round, which, although more melodic, gets repetitive after only a few minutes. Enter change ringing. Scott Whitfield holds the title of ringing master at Trinity Episcopal Church. He has been ringing for around a decade. What got you into it?
I just heard them ringing, and I thought it was cool. And then there's a TV monitor outside, and so I started watching the TV monitor, and I just thought it was interesting.
Got to be a part?
Yeah. Everybody needs their place.
He offered me a very basic explanation of change ringing.
We have eight bells, mm-hmm. and so we'll pull off ringing in what's called rounds. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And so then someone will call a change. So someone will say 3 to 1. And so the 3 bell will then change positions to follow the 1 bell. And then the 2 bell changes to ring after the 3 bell. That's the meaning of change bell ringing.
And to round out the conversation, that sounds something like this.
73. 72. 72.
Change bell ringers will perform those patterns following a lead, typically using anywhere from 3 to 12 bells. The Trinity Episcopal Tower in Little Rock has 8 bells, meaning it has 40,320 possible patterns. To add to the complexity, ringers will memorize the change pattern. Performing a memorized pattern ring is called a method. The longest method is called a peal, and that's anything more than 5,000 changes with no repeats. On average, it takes about 3 hours to perform. The world record was set in 2015 at a church in the town of Yeovil in England with a total of 21,216 changes. It took 14 hours and 26 minutes to complete. Brownlee has performed several peals in his ringing career. He says it takes a decent amount of skill and physical effort, but most important is deep focus and concentration.
If you start thinking about your grocery list, you're going to get lost and the whole thing's going to blow up. You're part of a team and you don't want to let your team down. And so the whole time, I'm in fifth position, I'm in fourth position. If he calls a bob, I'm going to do this. You know, if he calls a single, I'm going to do this. And you're always preparing for the work and not thinking, boy, what if it's going to rain today? Because then you're gone.
Brownlee says that the bells at Trinity Episcopal were initially a big draw for the church. He reflected on his time under his late mentor.
When the bells were first hung, we had 50 some odd people that wanted to learn how to ring. And of course, Miss Cross couldn't handle 50 people. And so she kind of wholesale cut people. I mean, she'd just barely let you start ringing and say, yeah, you'll never make it, get out.
This weekend's event is called the Seven Towers Festival because at its height, seven towers operated across Arkansas, Texas, and Louisiana who attended the festival. Now there are about three. The church is calling the festival a light ringing weekend, bringing in just 22 individual registrants.
We're aging out. You know, our tower average age is 70, you know, years old, and we badly need to recruit younger ringers.
Brownlee attributes the falling numbers to the significant concentration required, saying it is a hobby that takes plenty of time to master.
In 6 weeks, you might be ringing a full pull, and all you'd be able to do is make it ring. You wouldn't be able to ring any kind of a method. And the attention span of people, and especially Americans, is such that, you know, if I can't do this right away, I just don't think I want to do it. It seems like we're kind of, I'm not going to say easily distracted, but something else that we can do proficiently we want to do first.
However, it can't be denied that change bell ringing is a hobby with appeal.
Rounds on six, look two, trouble's going, trouble's gone.
That was Little Rock Public Radio's Nathan Treese reporting. Earth Day was this week, and organizations across Arkansas are taking advantage of the holiday to flip the switch on power-producing solar arrays. KUAF's Jack Travis attended a ribbon-cutting ceremony for the University of Arkansas's project and brings us this report.
The University of Arkansas flipped the switch on its system-wide solar energy project yesterday. The first of four solar arrays deploying across the state came online, and this one benefits the Fayetteville campus. Although the group of panels on Weddington Drive is the smallest of the four, they still have a huge impact on one part of the university.
This facility here is offsetting 100% of the electricity consumed at the Cato Springs Research Center.
Eric Bowles is the Director of Sustainability for the university. He oversees off-site energy production and says he spends a lot of time convening stakeholders, talking about how to reduce their environmental footprint through the electricity that facilities consume.
And that was kind of our role within this project. As you may have heard earlier, the UA Fayetteville campus had the first solar projects within the U of A system, and that planted the seed that grew into a system-wide project, which is hugely beneficial to all the campuses within the University of Arkansas system and for the state of Arkansas.
The seed was planted in 2019. And resulted in a new solar services agreement in 2022. In that agreement, the Board of Trustees pledged to cut greenhouse gas emissions by 8.8% and pursue a solar array to cover roughly 6.3% of the Fayetteville campus's energy requirement. Senior advisor and project manager for utility operations, Scott Turley, says that growing the agreement to cover the statewide university system allowed for easier approval.
We were successful in getting one project approved by the board, and that was when they started thinking, should we look at this as a system-wide project as opposed to campus by campus.
Now the solar project has grown to over 20 planned facilities stationed across Arkansas. Yesterday, the first came online in Fayetteville, but later this year, three more will activate around Paris, Nashville, and Murfreesboro. The first phase will generate about 993,000 kilowatt hours of energy a year. That's enough to power 125 homes, possibly saving the university over $100 million over the next 25 years. This initiative will put the U of A on the map for sustainable energy, as it's the fourth largest university solar deployment in the U.S. Only Stanford, the University of California system, and Penn State have larger installations. However, officials at yesterday's ribbon-cutting ceremony say that ours is more complicated. The power plant works under old net metering laws. These laws allow the university to exchange electricity on the grid. So the Cato Springs Research Center is currently benefiting from the solar panels, even though they're across town. These net metering laws in Arkansas changed a couple years ago, but Bowles says it would be difficult to use the new system without them.
Yeah, we're, 15, 20 minutes away by car. But kind of how it works is through the net metering laws in the state of Arkansas. We are grandfathered in under the previous net metering laws, which allow us to, for every unit of electricity we put into the grid here, we get one unit of electricity out of the grid at our Cato Springs Research Center. So a lot of times these projects make sense to do as a net metering system because you're able to really deploy solar at scale. This whole project is hundreds of acres. It's more land than we have on the campus. And in addition, sometimes it makes sense to build the facilities where the land is available and you have a lower cost to deploy the facility, and you have a demand for electricity at that location.
Turley, amidst the panels and the audible whine of solar power generation, says the new solar project is great for the university's many priorities and stakeholders. For starters, it's just good business sense.
It saves the university money, and that frees up resources for our core mission. At the same time, we can have a dramatic impact on our sustainability goals and the reduction in our carbon emissions. It's also a good marketing tool. Students want to be a part of a campus that is progressive and being environmentally responsible. So it's really a win for the university all the way around.
And that was KUAF's Jack Travis reporting. And that's it for this week. The Arkansas News Wrap is brought to you by the Arkansas Newsroom, a collaboration between KUAF in Fayetteville, KASU in Jonesboro, and Little Rock Public Radio. You can find this week's episode on any of our station's websites. Until next time, I'm Daniel Breen, and this is the Arkansas News Wrap.